up, Bear?
It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
So.
I didn't know.
So, that's fine. I don't care.
Okay, well, I should know. Should I not know that?
I don't know. How would you know? We don't, like, walk around saying, hey, just a reminder of my birthday.
Yeah,
you know I don't give a shit, so.
Right.
So
whatever. And if you said happy birthday to me, I'd probably punch you.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, but whatever.
Yeah. So, happy birthday.
Thanks, man. So, my point of bringing that up.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were just looking for a compliment.
No. It's not really a compliment.
No,
it's kind of weird.
I know when I said that, I said that's a wrong sentence.
You know, it's funny because I don't have my birth, my actual date of birth on any, that I'm aware of, on any like social media.
Right.
So I don't get the...
Oh, you don't get...
5 million, yeah. Which I love because I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, we're not really friends.
Yeah.
Those, I don't, it doesn't do anything for me. You know what? Like, God bless you if you like that. I don't. So yeah. It's like, I would rather it just be...
Don't need attention. That's not
attention. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. So, but my point of bringing that up is I was thinking, not to start off on a dark note, but I was just like, man, like, I'm going to be 30 years old soon. And it's like, man, everybody's going to die one day. Isn't that crazy? Like, you start thinking, you get on a deeper level. So I was thinking, the only thing I reflect on when it's my birthday, because my day is just my normal day, but the only thing that it makes me think of is like, wow, not like I'm not thinking like, wow, I'm getting old. I don't think that, but it's just like, man, like time is actually limited and it just keeps going faster. And I was thinking of that last night. I was talking with my Christine about it. I was just like, man, like literally everybody's going to die. Like, it's so crazy, man.
Yeah. You don't think about it.
No,
you don't think about a lot of things when you're young. There's a point in your life where you actually become an adult. And for me, turning 30, so I remember every decade, right? I'm going to be 55 soon. I remember every decade. I remember going to approaching 30 and going like, what? I used to think 30, like if you think the kids we train, when they look at you, like being around 30, you're now becoming old. I remember asking Charlie a couple of years ago when he was drafted, talking to Zach Cassian and Dalton Prout and stuff. So they were NHLers, 31 years old.
Yeah.
So I go, Charlie, do they look like old to you? He goes, yeah, because he was 15, 14. I go, really? And I said, they're not that old. He goes, no, they look like old men. So anyways, when I was going to my 30-year birthday, it was like, what the heck? Like, it blew my mind. I'm thinking that's old. I got to tell you this, though, so look forward to this. 30, for me, 30 to 40, I'd go back there any day. The best. I'd rather do that than being 16.
That's funny you say that.
The absolute best. And here's now, I absolutely detested my 20s. Couldn't stand it. Like, it was just like trying to figure out things big time. But my 30s were fantastic. And I guess probably because, you know, now you're a little bit more mature. You realize where you're having fun. You're old enough to go out and have fun. You know what I mean? Like, in a responsible way. Well, not really. but you're making good money. Like, you're a little bit more settled. You're looking at maybe if you're starting to mature, or if you're are mature. I said mature, like, in a weird way.
It's mature.
Yeah. You start thinking maybe family. Maybe. But for me, that's like it all came in. And everything good started for me developing like about 30, 31 years old. Like, I love my 30s. So now your next one is going to be when you're approaching 40. Because when I started getting 36, 37, I'm like, man, I'm going to be 40 years old, dude. And I would look at 46-year-olds and 45-year-olds and go, oh, like, this is old. Look at how you wear your pants. Like, do you have to wear a sweater? Do you have to wear socks with those? Like, yeah. Do you have to act like that? Comb your hair like that? Like, what the heck? It's just like a thing. And then 50 is 50.
Yeah.
But to your point, you do start looking at things differently, because 30 years is 30 years, right? Like, you're getting there.
And it's young.
Oh yeah.
It's not, I don't feel like,
no,
I'm old,
you're young.
But and the nice thing too, like, maybe a little low key benefit is no one ever guesses I'm older than 24. So I have that, which is nice. But I was thinking, it's funny you said that 30s to 40s is your best decade, because literally just last night, and actually yesterday, one of the guys from the rank was talking to me about it and said the same thing as you did. But I was talking to my Christine about it, and I was like, I think like 30 to 40 is like probably the highlight decade, if not the highlight decade, a highlight decade, because of all the things you said. So we just like happened to be talking about it, and I kind of was like thinking in that ballpark anyways.
Yeah. Well, you got to think. You take care of yourself. You eat healthy. You got goals, dreams. You're not old enough to be depressed that you didn't hit them. you're young enough to say I can do these things. You can start your family or not, but you can make intelligent decisions based on where you are. And it's awesome. Like, it's great. You got time, you got energy, right? You got testosterone.
Yeah. I feel like the way that I put it is like, I don't want, I'm excited about the future. So I don't want to like stop where I am or anything. But I feel like I'm maximum free right now. Like I have the maximum amount of freedom. Like I live on my own. I pay for all my own stuff. I have, my job's great. I don't have kids that, I don't want to say that negative because I'm not negative about having kids, but like, obviously that comes with a lot of, I don't want to use the word restriction, but maybe just responsibility is way more ramped up now because it's like, it's about your kids. It's not just about you. Like, I can be maximum free and maximum selfish basically right now, which is why it's like, it feels like a good time. And that next 10 would be the best, but who knows what, by the time I'm 80, maybe life expectancy will be 130 and then
yeah, well, 80
will still be young.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
That's
which
it.
Is weird.
But that's it. Like there's things that could keep you a little bit younger, but yeah, like so your thoughts on hitting 30. So I'm thinking like, look at this face. Look at how I act. Like, not that other people would notice. I'm looking at 60.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
Okay, question though.
Yeah.
If in your head, okay, in my head, I think I'm stuck in my head at like 22. I don't feel much different mentally than I did when I was 22. I just feel like I know more things, but my mental state, I feel like, is the same. Do you have a age that you're pinned to mentally?
12.
Yeah.
6.
Actually though, like what, yeah. Like serious number, like what, where it was like, you don't feel like you've aged mentally past a certain number. Like, what would the number be for you?
Mentally?
Yeah, just mentally. Like, okay, you feel just, like you're stuck just, in time at an mentally. Age?
Yeah, young.
Like, not, because I think like 22 for me. You think younger than that for you?
Maybe I'm lying to myself, but mentally, look who I hang out with.
I get it. It could be 12.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to give myself more than 12. You know, no, I'm mentally not 12. Like, this is serious. No, I'm being serious. Mentally not 12. Probably. Okay, so I'm thinking like having conversations with the kids and stuff like that. It's like probably 20 is still a little young, but I would say probably 30. 30 would be, yeah, I would say 30 for sure. You know, I think about Prouder, you know, some of those friends that, you know, it's, yeah, well, it's, I get them. They get me still. I think maybe they just get me because they're nice to me and respect me. But so speaking of age too, how it flies. So we were up in Sudbury last week to watch the boys play. And I called my Mr. Rose because I wanted to see if he wanted to grab a coffee, you know, just catch up with him because I'm in town. And I called him and I forget. Remember he stopped in here a couple of years ago and he looked like he's 65. And I can't picture him any older than what I saw him. So I called him and he was so happy to hear from me, surprised him, you know, and I said, so Mr. Rose, if you want, I'm going to be in town on Saturday. If you want to grab a coffee or anything like that, I'd love to catch up with you. And he goes, oh, Andy, I'd love to. I got a doctor's appointment and he's not getting out of that. Right. And then I remembered he's 85,
85,
85 ish, maybe more, maybe less, but like 85. So I'm like, so if I ran it, like, yeah, he's 85. You know,
yeah,
so,
I know it's
it flies. It's I can't picture him past that. This is my favorite coach ever.
And I think that's the only thing that gives me like a time to reflect on that kind of line of thinking when it's my birth. That's the only thing that really matters. But you know what's weird is I remember being a little kid, like little, like 8 years old, and thinking about that, which is weird. I always had like a, I think that I always had a, I don't know, like, I don't know what the word would be, like a depth. Where like I just thought about stuff like that. Like I remember thinking at like 8 years old, I remember being in my bedroom and I'd get sad. Like I remember running out of my room because I'd be like crying because I'd be thinking about like my parents are going to get older. Like I'm going to get older and it would like make me sad. So I remember always having that, like every year I would think about, go through that cycle of like thinking about the time thing and the age thing. It's such a weird thing, man.
Yeah, so it is. Weird. Well, so just a last thing on that, maybe. My wife and I talked about this. There's only one or two reasons why, that I have concerns about my death. like when I do pass away. That's my boy and my family, right? So like I just want them to be able to function. Like I know they will, but I just like being the sounding board and seeing success and helping, just being the thing. But anyways, Mr. Rose again. The encouraging part is this is why I would always say to people, even if you don't like it, you know, sorry to bug you, but Mr. Rose was very, very active. He ran, lifted weights, played sports, kept his mind sharp, always took a course. And, you know, just talking to him on the phone, if you didn't know how old he was, you'd think he's the same age as me. His voice has a vibrant voice, sharp energy. And like, if there's ever a reason to think that, like 85 years old, I think a lot of people think of 85, it's like, you know, can I help you up the stairs type of thing? And, you know, be real nice. Like Mr. Rose would be, you walk in here, I treat him the same way as I treat you. Like, hey, Harold, you want to go grab me that thing over there? Like, yeah. Like he's got energy coming out the wazoo. So fitness and always ate healthy, very important. So that's a really good reminder in front of my face. Anytime you want to get lazy, life can be good, I guess.
Yeah. It's a good thing to aspire to be, man, for sure. Because you have time, and it's never too late either. That's the thing. It's like it's never too late to start to try to get on that track. Because you want to be like 90 years old and feeling good and able to do stuff that you enjoy, right? There'd be nothing worse in my head than, or in my mind, that you're, you know, whatever, so limited in your last little bit that you can't do things you like to do.
It's like, you ever hear me say a negative thing about Mr. Rose?
Not one.
Ever. The best, man.
I know. Every time he comes up, yeah. And that's great, man. That's what you want.
That's what I want in a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. My name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. The products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to do a little tease to the people that do the memberships, because people are still signing up, which is cool. We're looking at doing some in-person events. So I think it's at the point where I feel like, we're actually going to be pursuing it. We've been throwing around the idea for a little bit, and I think now it's starting to seem like we're actually doing it. So I'm not saying 100% we're going to do it, but, it looks like we're trying to. Yeah, we have one lined up. So, and the membership people are the ones that make it happen. So if you guys want to support us and help us to get out and do that, that would be greatly appreciated. And we're probably going to do some kind of incentive for people that are members to get tickets to those events sooner than everybody else. So if there's enough of you guys, you might just sell it out, and it might just be the people that are members. So if that's an extra incentive for you to do that, then that would be awesome. And it wouldn't be necessarily just us speaking. We might get like a whole lineup of people. Could be just us, could be a lineup of people. Depends how the planning goes. But I thought that'd be something for you guys to look forward to, for us to kind of reach out. And this is why we keep talking about the membership thing, because this is what allows us to do it. So if you're interested in that, then you can go on the website or in the description of the video, and you can see the options there, which is cool. So check that out. You guys can also leave a review. Share the clips like you are across Instagram or whatever social media, and we will, or we greatly appreciate you guys doing that as well, because that is super helpful. So, last after that would be the Blue Star sponsorship that we have. We actually have another sponsorship that's coming up soon, but you can check out the links for the Blue Star stuff too. They have some great stuff that we use. You can see over my shoulder here. So, so check that out and you get some great discounts on that as well. So, today I wanted to talk about skating mechanics. I think I'm going to title it like how to fix skating mechanics, but this isn't really going to be exactly how to fix it, because there's a lot of like moving parts to this. So I'm going to try to get as specific as I can, because that is actually going to give people like practical things that they can look at. But for me, the thing that's made me kind of think of this topic again is I've been doing a lot of teaching on the treadmill again, and it's like a very good tool for isolating poor mechanics. At any age, any level, whatever, you can really like break down exactly where people are are missing. So I've been looking at that a lot, and there's just like some consistent things that I see at certain age groups that I'm not going to say they're necessarily easy to address, but things that maybe you aren't aware of if you're trying to improve skating, because everybody, there's like the slogan things people say, like bend your knees, and most people know about like long strides now, I guess, but there's certain things that people just throw out there and say as ways to fix it, but I find it doesn't really translate, and people, because kids, especially kids, they don't know what it means when you're saying these things. So actually being able to explain some of this stuff might be helpful, or help you if there's just like something weird, you're looking at your kid and there's like, there's just something off about skating, you can't put your finger on it, maybe like these are some things you can look at. But I want to be careful about saying fixing the skating mechanics, because there's like a ton of stuff that goes into fixing, and then like what does fixing even mean, and what is a good skater, and all those kinds of questions. So before we kind of get into like those fundamental things, I want you to kind of revisit your thought process, because I agree with you when you talk about this topic, is just like you don't know how much of kids' skating mechanics you can actually fix. Like how much can you actually change a skater, and kind of where do you draw the line between you can fix the mechanics versus they can like fix the mechanics to be like an ideal skater versus you could just like help them get better with what they already have. And maybe just like the skating mechanics topic in general, because it's a very emphasized thing in like hockey land. So just what are your like kind of opening thoughts just on that in general?
Well, I'll go like just on my experience of training hockey players. And there is one point where I was probably everything was packaged in the same way, right? You have to get low, get your ass down, bend your, not your knees, but have that hip hinge, get down low, extend the stride, get the chest up. Our arms should swing a certain way, more or less, for your stride length. And then your quick feet comes off the balls of your feet and all that stuff. And then when that's mostly true. But then that's where you have to, as a coach, as a trainer, as even if you're a player, you have to kind of think outside the box sometimes, because not everybody's the same. So, for example, there was kids that I trained like that were just beautiful skaters. Okay, that's the way you do it. Well, there wasn't a whole lot to fix. Why do they get that way? I don't know. Are they just good athletes? Or they just get on the skates? Some bodies just move really nice when they're on the ice, right? But then, you know, your recovery stride, where should your feet come in? Then you're watching a guy skate and people go, wow, a Taylor Hall, for example, who I have been on the ice with. Ryan Moore was another kid that I looked at. They had that really wide wheelbase. So if you look at in Guelph, Carabella and Nemo have that, right? They're low to the ice and it seems like they're really, really wide wheelbase. Well, that kind of goes against the recovery stride coming back in the middle, or at least it appears like that. And they're not, I'm not going to say Carabella's not tall, but he's not really tall. He's like 6 feet or a little bit under. And so is Nemo. So is that a function of like how they get their wide wheelbase? So was Taylor's like 6'1", 6". And so is Moorsey that I was talking about. They had that wide wheelbase. So it was like, oh man, that wide wheelbase. So do you teach that? So I'm thinking Moorsey, for example, he was very bow-legged.
So you're saying like the, when you say the wide, it's like the distance between their feet was wide.
Yeah, wider. Right? So it looked like they had that real stability, right? So it's like, is that something that you teach, or is that something that you just have by default? And I think that's a default thing, right? So, and then, okay, so you look at that. So that changes, that has to change the theory of everyone has to skate, look the same way when they skate, more or less, right? The perfect skater shouldn't just look like that because there's differences. Yeah. So then you look at someone like Jack Eichel. Eric Lindros was, in my opinion, was another one that they looked like they were almost straight up and there was almost no knee bend. So where are they generating their power from? Or are they bending and you just don't notice it? They seem taller when they're on the ice. Then you look at another kid that has a, that goes against everything that you would ever teach, Potsy. So Matt Patra has a pretty evident forward lean. So it would immediately indicate you're going to be off balance a little bit. You're not maximizing your hip hinge. You're not maximizing your stride. You see a lot of those guys, but they get around the ice fine. So my general statement on skating is to put a one thing fits everybody. I don't think that's a thing. So I think there's still general principles, right? If you finish your stride on your heel, well, you're missing your whole foot, right? So you have to finish on your toe. You have to get the knee drive. You have to you know, get to the center as much as you can so you can have a long stride. I think your balance is important. So, you know, having your upper body not over your toes too much, your arm swing, all those different things are important. But I think everyone's going to be a little bit different. So that's one thing, right? Are you agile or are you not? I don't know if that's, you can do some stuff on the ice for that. Yes. I think I lost a little bit of my train of thought there.
Oh, let me jump in for a second. Sure. If you get it, just interrupt me. Because I kind of agree for me, because now that I've been doing, I think it's been like 12 years now I've been teaching skating. And it's like, I think the same thing. There's general principles that apply, but then there's play between like from kid to kid. So it's like you try to teach them general things, but certain kids, like I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, is like depending on their body proportions, like some things might work for them better than others. You know, so maybe I'll just do it right now. Like if you have a really long legs, for example, you naturally are going to be able to extend your leg out more because your leg is longer. So it might be an easier thing for you to get a long stride, whereas a kid with a shorter leg can't do it, man.
You should, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Even just leg strength, and this is where you can start to look at the off-ice portion of it as well. But like if you have really strong legs, then the force you're generating is just better. So like I'm looking at two kids. That I'm thinking of two kids right now. They're 2012s, and I actually don't know who's the faster skater, but the one kid just has like huge ass, like really meaty thighs, like that hockey player leg lower half development, and he's a 2012 kid. And his buddy, who's also a 2012 kid, looks like this pen, right?
And he can skate.
And he can skate.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at both of them, and I'm like, okay, probably more long term, like this kid that has the genetics of the beefy legs will probably be able to generate more power on average as he gets older. He just has like a genetic advantage in that department. But then maybe not though. Maybe it slows him down because his legs are super heavy and he doesn't know how to, like these are things, right? Flexibility in your hips. That's a big one to me because people don't think about the back half of the stride, that recovery portion that you're talking about, right? The recovery portion is your ability to drive your knee up in front of you. If you can't drive your knee up because your hips aren't flexible, then you're going to be limited there, right?
It's the second force on the stride. It's the push,
that's right.
The pull.
Push, pull, right? Where your balance is your center of gravity. So you're talking about kids that have that forward lean, right? If kids have a little bit more of a forward lean, maybe in theory, it's like, yeah, that your center of gravity is going to be over your toes. That's no good. But it's like, okay, but maybe based on how your hips are, how your legs are, that forward lean actually helps you to get, because you can't sit back in the saddle as well or whatever, right? The size of your upper body. Length of your arms, and then overall flexibility just with legs and those types of things. So the way your body is designed will impact what you're able to do and the positions you're able to sit in. Like I'm thinking of Big Jacks that we have here, like watching this guy try to do a back squat. It's like, it looks like it's painful for him because his legs are so freaking long, man. You know? So his femurs actually aren't as long relative to the lower half of his leg. So it's like when he goes to sit into a squat, it's like hard for him to get into that nice fold position where he hinges his hips back, right? And so for him, it just looks a little bit different. You know, for him doing a deadlift, it's like better for him. He gets the same range of motion if it's elevated a little bit as someone who's shorter than him, you know? So there's all these body proportion things that play into the mechanics. So it's not like, again, to your point, just emphasizing, it's not one size fits all. There's like general principles that will apply, but there has to be some leeway, at least in my opinion, for kids to work with their own body.
So question, because I was just thinking about something here. You were just talking about the leg length, and I was talking about straight up guys and knees bent guys. Just a thought, and I've thought about this several times, but just a thought out loud right now, is like if a guy goes to a figure skater to learn how to skate, when you watch a figure skater skate, do you see a really deep knee bend and a low ass?
There you go.
Do you?
No.
No.
They're pretty upright.
So that's like opposite of what a lot of people talk about.
Well, and this is what's funny is because this is where it can get into like, you have to be very specific about why you're doing what you're doing. So if your issue, because in hockey, in order to get super long strides, which is important for generating the maximum force, because we're trying to race, like in figure skating, that's not necessarily what they're doing.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
So it's, well, they don't, they're not racing.
No, they're not racing.
They're getting around
the
ice, like doing their routine, whatever. So they need to be good on their edges and whatever, but they're not necessarily in the business of generating maximum forward power, right? So if I'm a hockey player and my main issue is that I can't fully extend my strides because I don't get low enough, that if that's one reason, then will going to the figure skater help that? Right? So it's like you have to be able to tell which thing is the issue. Like this is why I wanted to talk about this stuff, because it's so, you need to be specific about what the problem is. And to a degree, like especially when you're young, you just need to get better at everything. Like that's the other thing that's important to understand, right? So do you have anything else on any other thoughts on that, the figure skating thing? Because you just asked.
No, I was just thinking about that out loud. It was just like, that's like my point to saying that is like, if someone's saying, well, go to a figure skater, and I'm not saying don't, I'm saying probably go. Yeah, try. Yeah. Just be aware, like when people like think outside the box as well, as like, okay, well, that does that type of skating translate into being a hockey skater, right? That's all I'm saying. Or doing skating, you know, look at some of the drills you're doing. Okay, does that actually translate into being a better skater? Is it always skating that translates into a better skater? Because you can do something like this was an interesting one, because I've had to do this with a couple guys, well, several guys, is getting the turnover speed, like the quick starts, let's say, coming out of turns or coming out of stops, those quick starts. It's like, it's a different type of skating. And do you just, oh, this is a question, I know my answer, but do you say, okay, I got to work on my quick feet. So do you jump on the ice and work on your first 3-4 strides? Does that fix it? I would say maybe, but I would also say probably not. Because if it's just a matter of doing something over and over and over, that doesn't mean that you're fixing it. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and never getting a different result, right? Or getting the same results. So just a question. It's just a question. It's not, like, I've got my answers, but I'm just throwing how to, like, when you're looking at things, how to think about it. That's all.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, like, not just say, oh, do this, because that's what I see a lot of people do is like, for example, when I bought the skating treadmill, I was kind of against it at first. Like, I'm like, I'm not buying that stupid thing. It's not ice. Well, then you can't rollerblade because that's not ice either. Then you can't, like, you know what I mean? So I bought it and I'm like, what is it good for? And for me, it was, so I'll give you my reason why I bought it. It wasn't for conditioning. It wasn't for anything other than the fact that for the first time in my life as a teacher, it made sense that someone could watch themselves skate live, and I could, or you can, or whoever's teaching, if we know what you're doing, you can pick apart the mechanics of skating live. So like for me, a lot of the problems when you do video is most of the time done after the fact. So you do a task, come back, watch the video, and then, okay, you got this, and this, let's change that. And then you do it again. It's like, well, you can do it live with the mirror and all that stuff. So if a kid does have a forward lean, you can just sit there and say, okay, so like we can fix this right now, and they can see it live. They can see where they're, if they're toe flicking, if they're bringing it back to the middle, where they're, if they're off balance, if they're not hip hinges. So all those things are good. So you can do it live. That's the point. So I don't sit here and say, yeah, everyone should get on that skating treadmill because that's the answer. No, not, it's not, if you're just going out there skating and doing the same thing over and over without making a fix. So for me, that was like the fix or a good solution to fixing skating mechanics. Some skating mechanics, not all.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I say the same kind of thing when I'm talking about nutrition and teaching nutrition, is like, think of food as tools. Like anything you consume can be used as a tool depending on what the outcome is you're looking for. And that's the same with trying to fix anything or do anything. It's like everything is a tool. It's not necessarily positive or negative or good or bad or one thing or another. It's like, is this appropriate and will it be effective for the thing I'm trying to fix? And so if for certain types of skating issues, like that's where a treadmill could be really good. For other things, maybe you need to be doing it on the ice, maybe whatever, you know? So I want to go through a couple specific things about skating mechanics. I basically wrote down like every component I could think of, and then I'm going to go through them, and then I want you to like stop me if you have either something that you've recognized as being a common issue, or just if you have something to say about it in general, a fix, or maybe there's not a right way to do it when people think there is, or whatever comment, just like interject it while I say it. Or I'll interrupt myself and talk about it too if I feel like it. So the first one, these are just kind of like the fundamentals of skating mechanics in no particular order. I just wrote down all the things that I kind of thought. So the first thing is having a balanced posture. So that's number one. So if you're off balance, and that can mean a bunch of different things, but if you're off balance, then nothing's going to happen, right? Because you feel like you're off balance.
So in every sport, there's a certain position that is optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you get outside of that, you become weaker, less effective. Boxing, there's a stance. Yeah. There's where your elbows need to be.
What? Yeah. So fun. I was just about to say, bring up boxing and right? jiu-jitsu. I was just about to bring those up.
So like if you start throwing, you know, off balance with your footwork off and your arms are out wide, you're going to get hammered and you're just not going to be as effective. Whereas if your elbows are in, like, look at me, you could just scrap it, right? Protect yourself, but like throwing right and coming from the hips and just making that quick, like the most efficient punch makes a big difference. So same with skating.
I was going to give the analogy with jiu-jitsu. There's this guy at the gym that I roll with. He's the worst guy to roll with. Because he just got his brown belt. His name is Mike. He's not going to listen, so it doesn't matter. And this guy is the master, at least to me, of all the people that I roll with. He can make me off balance so easy. Like, he just rides my movement to get me off balance, and then it's so easy to just topple me over, you know? And so I the whole time I'm fighting with him, I just feel awkward. I just feel like I'm not in a good spot, even if I am in a good spot, just because he pulls my arm across my body a little bit, or like I start to move this way and he bumps me further this way. Like these kinds of things where it's like, it's just really easy for him to flip me over, and I'm a heavy guy. So it's like it makes me feel like unathletic, or like I'm just in a bad spot. And it's the exact same thing with skating. Like if your limbs are in weird positions or your body's not in the right position to keep you balanced, then you're not going to be optimal. You're going to feel weird and awkward, right? So that was my first one. Second one, this kind of, I feel like most people know this, is just the stride length. Obviously, a longer stride is better for generating power simply because you're pushing off the ground for a longer period of time. And then you have more opportunity to do that pull motion of bringing your leg back and driving your knee forward, right? So you're covering further distance. So the more distance you cover with the stride, then the more power you're going to be able to generate.
And then your glide is doing some work.
That's right.
Even though you're not working, it's working.
Yeah, I think I have the glide in here too at some point. So that's the second one. Third one is the arm position. So I want to talk about this one too, because I remember when I started teaching about like the arm swing, because this is a common thing, like you, especially with younger kids, like they want to throw the arms across their body, whatever. And I think generally speaking, if you're going to throw your arms across your body, that's not good because your shoulders are start to rotate and now you're not in the direction that you're trying to go. But it also doesn't have to be like straight arm pump. And I remember that was, I think, a mistake I was making as a teacher when I was younger. Is like, I would say, like, make sure you keep your arms on their own side kind of thing.
We were thinking more along the lines of a runner in that sense, a sprinter.
Yeah, right.
Right. That would be very inefficient to rotate your body. But in hockey, it's a little bit different because you have that, I'm going to sound like a doctor, external rotation of your arse, right? Of your buttocks. So like your hips rotate a bit. So it's like, your whole body does twist a little bit. It's not going to be perfectly straight. So a little bit of a rotation or a little bit of your arm swing coming across your body, not across like this, but there is like a, I don't know what angle that is, but
well, I think
maybe it comes to the other side of the face, of your face.
I think it'd be the same as I was saying with the jiu-jitsu examples. Like if your arm starts to come across your body to the point where your shoulder starts to rotate, that's where you're going to start to get some issues in the stride. I don't really know what I mean by this, so maybe you can give me an idea.
Good thing you put it down.
I know I wrote down like edge control. Maybe that's like agility, maybe, but I don't know what I mean by that. But like, just like feeling, like being able to feel your blades. We talked about this in the power skating episode too. Like just being that, people say that, like, get comfortable on your edges and like be able to, you know, you go like heel to toes and those kinds of things. Or I know the example I'm thinking of is on the ice when you do those wide stick handles and you're like, so when you're on the one side, you're on like toe, other side's on the heel, vice versa kind of thing. So you're
the best way, like when you threw it out there like that, like, cause I'm for me, the term edges bothers me because like people make it sound like, oh, he's good on his edges or look at his edge work. It's like, it's to me, it's just skating.
Skating is on your edges.
Yeah. But having said that, there are, like, and I have a hard time putting a sentence around it. The only way I know how to do it is that when I teach it on the ice is that any skill that you have is, it's okay to be able to do a skill. It might look good. The next question is, if you had to get out of that position because it didn't work, so right. So if you were doing a, let's say you pulled the puck in. I'll just use that for example, right? So you pulled the puck into your feet. If the weight's not transferred properly, if someone gets in your lane now, can you shoot? Can you make a play? Can you get out of that position? That's what I talk about when I'm talking about being comfortable on your skates. So the way that I can show it and explain it, but like there's too many examples right now to come up with it. So if my thing is that if it feels right and you know what right feels like, then it's probably right. If it feels off or not uncomfortable, because that's not necessarily the right term, but it might be, is that if it feels like it's not fluid, if it feels like you can't get out of that naturally, then definitely there's something wrong. So that's what I was saying. Like, when people say skating, like you finish off at your toe when you're skating. Yes and no. Yes, if you're going a straight line forward and your nose is going to the net or whatever, and you're going a straight line. But if you want to have any type of agility, like if you want to make a lateral move or whatever, you're not so much on your toe. Sometimes you are, but if you want to make a quick movement, then you're loading up on your heels more with your ass down and pushing out. So like that just takes some practice. That takes some skill work. That takes being aware of like, okay, this feels right. And then for some people it's just natural.
Yeah, I like the framing of being able to escape or do something else. So like make a move, can you make another one where it feels,
can you get out of that?
Yeah, where it feels
natural.
You
have an escape move.
Yeah, I think that's the best way of framing the edge stuff too, cuz now you're taking the edge work thing and now you're putting it into like actual hockey. I think that's the difference, cuz when you talk about edge work, it's not really specific of like what is this for? Because then you think of like edge work around the cones, the 10 and 2s, like all this stuff that we talk about, which is fine.
Crossovers.
But it's not hockey. Whereas if you think of it like, if you make a move in a game, can you make another one? Can you escape? Now we're talking about applying that comfortability on your skates to the actual game. So that would be another one. Speaking of that, would be crossovers. So the one thing you talk about a lot with crossovers, I've noticed when you teach it, is there's the crossover, but there's the cross under. And how like the crossover takes two feet. They both have a job in doing the movement. So talk a little bit about that piece of it, the over part. But then what do you mean when you're talking about like the cross under after you finish?
It's not rocket science.
That's right.
No, yeah, I know it's fine. Not rocket science, but I just say the guys that aren't great skaters or possibly maybe just younger, that everyone talks about a push, right? So it's that outside finishing to the toe, which people get, so they push hard. But what I find the biggest deficiency when kids are skating or players are skating, it's the cross under, where they don't generate quite as much power. So what you'll see is, like, in my opinion, is that if you listen to someone do a crossover, it should sound the same. So if it's like the outside is shh, the inside should be shh, not sound effect. It's a sound effect, I not shh. And that's inside foot is like they're just not generating enough. They're not finishing at the toe as well, or they're not extending quite as well. So you see, and then you'll see like a little bit of a hop sometimes, and sometimes very subtle. So in order, like, fixing that is just you can do drills. There's a drill you can do, right, where you're doing like big crossovers, but you're making sure that you're maximizing both strides. So it should sound basically the same. And it should take the same time. And then even if you're doing the quicker ones, it should be the same thing, generating power from both sides. So it's like, I think the cross under is probably the outside edge of a crossover, or cross under is probably the most underutilized. Is that the word?
Underdeveloped
in a crossover.
Yeah. Good. That's exactly what I wanted you to say. So there you go.
If you look at someone stopping in hockey, what's the hardest edge to stop on if you're just using one leg, right? So if you like, very easy for some, because kids actually learn how to snowplow. You, I mean, that's a tactic, right? So if you go, if you were to do an inside foot stop, that's the hardest one for kids to get because balance is off, and it's like, you know, they, if they get it, they might chatter. They feel like they're gonna fall.
Yeah, one place that you can see it too. I remember you're talking about that, and I was thinking of I remember a highlight of Austin Matthews scoring where he did like a regroup in the neutral zone, and he just picks up so much steam. But one place you can see it is, I would say, like for like watch guys on power play breakouts, where the forwards come back, they're deep in their zone, and they go around the circle, and they're doing that crossover, cross under, and it looks like they're not going hard. But by the time they hit the blue line, it's like they have so much steam because both of that crossover, like the pace of the crossover, cross under is the same. So then you get, that's where you get, McDavid looked like he wasn't even skating hard, but he gets the puck at the red line and he's just blowing by everybody. And it looked like he wasn't trying. It's like he's generating so much power on those crossovers turning around that it's hard.
Well, there's one. Would you consider him, I can't even remember like on the top of my head, but does he look like he's really low or does he look like he's straighter up?
He reminds me more of like a Taylor Hall. Like he looks more
a little
like
wider?
A little bit wider, yeah. But he almost looks like he does that weird thing where it's like, when he's doing his crossovers, he looks like he's almost standing up. Like he does those quick crossovers.
Yes.
He does those. But I think when he's doing like the straight line skating, he reminds me more like that Taylor Hall look, that a little bit wider base. But I'd have to go and look now that I'm saying
that. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about
that is what
he's
got
to get low. Well,
yeah, that's what I think. I think he's got that little bit wider.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Set. But a powerful push, we can kind of breeze off that. It's just like actually trying to be intentional about the stride. Being stable in your core, that's a big one. Actually, these two kind of go together with me. The core stability and then your upper body coordination. So like the core stability part is kind of everything starts from that, right? Remember, we talked to Chad from Edmonton about that. He was talking about how to fix skating mechanics, and he didn't like the question either because it's so...
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't like... Because actually, we specifically asked, like, how do I get faster? And he doesn't like that question. And then we got into the skating mechanics, and he was talking about one of his three pillars of... becoming a better skater is having some core strength, right? Core stability, because we're starting from that center of gravity position where you're low, right? So if you can't brace, if you don't have strength through your trunk, then it's going to be hard to get yourself in a good position.
Yeah. And so I had Charlie with a track coach this summer. Interesting. Cause, they're explaining, it was near the end of the summer too, doing drills where, you know, you're doing the knee drive, but doing the knee drive where you're totally engaging the core and not letting your, you know, other muscles take over, and what a challenge. So that's a very like, who thinks so you skate with your belly? Really? Well, you do.
Well, and then the other,
that's your power. Yeah. Well, anyways, go.
The other thing too is like people don't really know what the core is. Like people think abs is core, and it's like front and back. The way I say it is like the posterior side, front side, chest down, knees up, like there's parts in there of everything that could be considered a core. So it's not like just your abs contracting, that's core strength. But the big thing for that is if you can't stabilize your core, then it's going to be really hard to maintain a good hip hinge when you're trying to skate. It's like all of that, right? If you've ever done a back squat or you ever do a deadlift, it's like you have to have that brace the whole time or your posture just breaks down, right? So it has to be strong. And it's the same with the skating. And then next to that was the upper body coordination. This is one that I find kids struggle with a lot when you tell them how to fix it. So it's if they're thinking too much and they can't figure out the coordination piece. But the way that you could talk about it in terms of like having a rhythm, like where things kind of flow the same way. I notice it a lot when we do like a single leg box jump or a step up, explosive step up. A lot of kids, they don't have the mapping of the arm swing with the leg. The opposite arm, opposite leg drive at the same time. Like they don't have that. And you can notice if you get into that comfortable groove, your body has like a natural flow to it, where like your arm and your opposite arm and opposite leg kind of want to do the same movement pattern. But if you're going forward, they're going forward. If it's going back, it's going back at the same time on opposites. So that's kind of something else that you can look for. Frequency of the stride, that kind of goes with the stride length. If you're taking like shorter, choppier strides, obviously that's,
yeah, but the frequency of it, a lot of people think it's, again, it's important to understand there's the push, but it's the pull. So having a good, strong hip flexors,
mm-hmm.
right, to drive that.
And flexible, yeah.
To drive the knee forward is a really important part that is probably another very underdeveloped, or one that doesn't get as much attention.
Yeah,
and I'm sure really good pro skaters understand that, but I mean, in general.
The other element of it too, I think, is increasing the frequency while maintaining the long stride. That's a hard thing that people struggle with when they're developing as skaters. Like, I'll tell kids, like, hey, like, we're going like slow and long. Like, that's what I always say. Like, try to go slow on purpose, keep the stride long. And then I'll tell them, like, whatever, a little bit later, I'm like, okay, I'm going to speed it up now. We're going to go faster, but you have to maintain that stride. And they want to go back to the running now, like the quick feet, the 1, 2, 3, right? So frequency, the stride frequency, maintaining that good stride length, that's another area where as you're picking up speed, still keeping that full extension and the full knee drive coming back. That's important. Acceleration is one, like the 1, 2, 3s. This is like the most common thing that people ask about. Like you mentioned before, is like the quick start, like other foot speed, these kinds of things. And a lot of that isn't actually going to come from like doing it on the ice. Like a lot of that can start to come from off ice stuff, just getting stronger. But the flip side of that is the deceleration, right? It's like the speeding up, but then slowing down. Like it's weird that people never, like, they don't think about that, or it's just not emphasized ever. But it's the exact opposite of the acceleration. It's like you want to take off quick. You also want to be able to slow down quick, right? Like you want to be able to slow down on a dime and rip back the other way. So it's like that deceleration part is just as important as accelerating. It's you go to stop, you decelerate first before you take off, right? So it's both halves of that.
And it's learning how to load the springs to take off again.
And that's all your direction changes, right? You're trying to change direction. You have to do both. You have to be able to load and push, and that goes to your weight transfer thing, right? Being able to swing it onto the one leg, push off. And then obviously you need to practice and repeat all that kind of stuff. But the last thing is then being able to do it with the puck. That's where things can kind of get messy too, where you get open ice, you can skate beautifully. And then as soon as the puck comes to you, it's like you have to have your head down, and now you can't take. The way that I always talk about it with any skills, like you want to be able to take the skill for granted. So you want to be like so confident in your skating and so comfortable with your skating that you're not thinking about it when the puck gets on your stick, or vice versa. Like you want to be so comfortable with the puck on your stick that it's just, you're thinking about playing. You're not thinking about, oh, I have to stick handle now and whatever. It has to be just like on automatic, right?
Yeah. So like a boxer, you throw a punch at him, he's used to that. He sees it. He doesn't panic.
Right.
He doesn't make a 6-foot move to get out of the way. He just parries it, or he takes one step.
Yeah. No. So those, I had like I guess 15 things that I kind of ran through. But anything else like about kind of just like the fundamental things for skating mechanics, or like maybe what would be like a take home or a couple take home things that you would say when you're starting out, when you're younger, for parents that like their kids are starting to get into higher levels of hockey, like what are like the key things in terms of the skating that you think to focus on? Like I have 15 here, but maybe if you had like a couple take homes, like where do they focus their attention?
What age are you looking at?
Let's say the age where it starts to matter. So let's say like if we're a puberty time where like off ice training is now an option, they're starting to go through puberty, they're serious about the hockey, like all of those things. And not even necessarily that they have a huge deficiency, maybe they do, but more just like, what should the focus be in terms of making sure you're a quality skater? What are like the few things you would make sure that they hammer on? Obviously, it could be all of these, but just like, what are the couple things that you think are most important?
Okay, so you're talking on the ice or?
Yeah, skating.
Yeah.
With their skating.
I think like one of the biggest things is just having the mindset of intention, of being out there and paying attention and knowing what feels right and what doesn't feel right. So I know for a fact a lot of people skate and they go, you know, like I'll use a stupid example, is turning right is like a, you know, I've had junior players say that, like, yeah, I'm having a hard time turning to the right. Well, why are you figuring this out at 17? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's not, I'm not saying that in a bad way, just saying like, okay, so there's things like, so notice things like that and like have it in the back of your mind and say, oh, this is something that I got to work on, and what do I have to do? Like, what are things that I can do to fix that? Right. I think intention is good. And then I also would say, like, take time to do things, again, with intention. Like, think about what you're doing. So, like, think and feel at the same time. So, like, for me, I always like doing, like, an inside edge, staying low, whatever your posture is, but, like, really working on those mechanics. So you're feeling an edge. You're paying attention to your posture. You know what I mean? You're really feeling it and what feels right and what feels wrong. even if as a pro, right? If you're always honing in on, okay, this is right. The depth of your bend and all that stuff, and then finishing off with the toe flick. Am I recovering? Is my recovery leg coming back in the right spot? Stuff like that. I think the mind to muscle connection when you're skating makes a big difference because you have a clue. So that'd be number one. So like the hard thing about that is, can you tell an 8-year-old that? Can you tell a 10-year-old that? Like it makes it a little bit tougher. So I think default for them, I think it's just, I think it's important that kids do a lot of things where they are doing a lot of turning and, you know, just by default getting reps in. You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, if you're doing the reps wrong, you'll always do them wrong. It's like, not really true. Got to do a lot of volume of reps and to make it fixable.
Yeah. I want to punch that real quick. It's like if you like practice it wrong, you're always going to do it wrong. And to me, I don't think that's really the case, just because remembering in my own practice, like to a degree, at a certain point, you need a teaching point. Like I get that, but you want to get better at the thing you're practicing by default. Like that is the mindset. And the only way you get results is in the long term is by actually doing the movements correctly. So for example, if I start to do a deadlift, maybe just because I'm strong, I can lift the weight off the ground. At a certain point, if I'm not doing it properly, I'm going to stop being able to lift more weight or I'm going to hurt myself. Same thing with shooting. I could get away with not shooting correctly just because I'm stronger earlier, or I can raise the puck first, or I figured out the flick shot or whatever. But after a while, that's going to run out. So most kids, just by doing reps, will by default start to figure out a better way, because they'll get, just by accident, the one that comes off well. Like you always talk about when you used to practice, like one would come off well and then you'd be like, oh, and then you can have those click moments. I don't think kids will just keep practicing their flick shot and think like that's fine. I just don't think that's how practice works, you know? So I don't really subscribe to that thing. If you practice it wrong, it's always going to be wrong. I think you will, you won't improve as quickly as maybe if you have a teacher, an instructor at some point.
Yeah. Well, actually we had, just speaking of that, this is getting away from the skating, but we had someone that left a comment the other day that I just read that said that I think 12-year-old son practices his shot. And at some point he asked a question. I don't know if he was being sarcastic or if he was asking the question. He goes, at some point, like, does he not need a lesson? Like need at 12 or 8 or whatever the age was, it's not need. Like the kid's shooting and it's very fixable, you know, unless you look like a complete donkey when you're shooting. I mean, but you figure that out, right? But you can tweak things here and there. But so my answer to that question would be, like, I'm going to answer that guy's question right now, is like, would you do it for your son? I think the age was 8 or 9 or 10, whatever. Would you get him lessons, like a couple lessons? That's what it was. I would say if it was my kid, no. So that's my answer.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, because I mean that goes to our kind of our coaching talk we had last week of just like, are they going to actually listen and absorb the information? Is it just overload? It's like so funny because when we had the rapid shot in here and kids would come to do their shooting lesson, and it's the rapid shot is fun, so they don't care about what I'm saying. You know, same on the treadmill. It's like I mentioned about the treadmill last week. It's like, the kids are just overwhelmed about the, like I had a dad last night saying, oh man, like this was way better than last week. It was his second time this week coming. It's like, it was already way better than last week. And I was just like, yeah, he settles in, man. Now it's not new anymore, you know, so they can actually focus a little bit more on actually skating now. And then maybe if I throw them a teaching point, maybe they'll be more apt to listen to it, whatever. But yeah, I think the point of doing those, just doing those reps. And I mean, like I said, I listed 15 things here. And maybe if your mom and dad, you didn't know there was 15 things, maybe you thought it was bend your knees and try hard. Maybe that's the two things you thought, but there's a lot to it, right? And so if you're going to get there's a lot more. Like these are literally just the 15 things that like just came to mind. But yeah, I'm sure like...
And you're talking about a straight line.
Yeah, right? So if you go to get another skating coach to talk to you, maybe he picks 7 other things that I didn't think of. Just like doing the brainstorm here. But the point is not the specific 15 things. The point is that there's a lot of things and maybe you can help if you want to address a certain thing, there's better ways to fix it than others, you know? So maybe it's not best to just say, well, he's got to go with this figure skating coach, or he needs to do more power skating, or he needs to get on the skating treadmill, or he needs to start a workout program. Maybe it's not one specific thing. So I want to talk about how to fix some stuff. So I wrote down 5 different ways you can fix things, and we can talk about them. First one would be using video. Now, you touched on video before, and actually one thing I didn't think about with the treadmill too is what I thought about it, but I didn't articulate it in my own brain, is that live feedback thing. So that is an issue if you use videos. That's not actual live feedback. But if you were to use video like as a tool to help correct skating, like how would you use it? Like what would you try to do?
I think for me, watching video, I think it's no different than watching a hockey game. You could think of yourself as one thing, or another example is like, I think the middle-aged man could get this. Is it, you think you're feeling good? Why are you laughing? Was it the middle-aged man?
It's like, it's not a normal thing you say.
I do.
Middle-aged man.
Well, no. The middle-aged man will get this because you can walk around and you think, you know, maybe you're exercising, eating right and all that stuff. And then you go by a mirror and you go, oh, Jesus, is that me? Or you see a picture. You go, is that me? I thought I was leaner, or I thought, like, I didn't know I was that gray, or look at the lines on my, whatever, right? And it's like a shocker. So I think a lot of the times when a kid watches themselves play hockey, they see one thing. Because I did that. Like when I played junior, the first, like we'd watch either film or they'd watch the...
Literally film.
Yeah, film. Yeah, yeah. Like...
the big wheel.
Yeah. And then I would watch a game. It'd be on TV a couple of days later because it wasn't like it is now. And I'd watch myself and I'd go, I didn't know I skated like that. I thought I was different. Like for me, and it pissed me off because everyone said I was such a good skater that I watched myself skate and I didn't like the way I looked. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I thought I had longer strides and more fluid, but it was like all quick, quick, quick. So I was like, I didn't like it. So I think that's the thing about when you watch video, if you look at it, you're going to be, it doesn't lie. That's what you look like. Yeah. Right. So it's like if you're looking at it to learn, then you can look and say, okay, I don't think I like that. Or you can say, no, that's a good thing, or it can be explained to you.
So like, would you pick out like some of these, whatever, I listed the 15 things. Would you like try to pick out like a specific thing? Be like, what specifically is wrong or right?
Well, I would look at it like if you're not teaching, if you're looking at it yourself, because that's what the important thing is. You see it for yourself, your own feedback, right? When you look at it, you're going to see something that is really good or something that sticks out to you, right? So maybe the question is what do I like? What do I don't like? Right? So you might, and I think, I'm only thinking, this is just me being me, back when I was me. Because when I watched myself, I thought I was a totally different skater than what I saw live, like when I saw in film. So it was like a shocker. And I want, so if I had the ability to work with someone, like, you know, whatever, I would know that this could be an issue or this couldn't be an issue. So now when I look at that now, like this is hindsight now, when I look at my skating style, now I know what I could have done to fix it. Now I realize that my, you know, my hip flexors were like steel cables, right? They weren't flexible. They didn't have that drive because who knew? But that's something that I knew, okay, that's something I could fix. And that's probably all I would fix about my skating. I was very agile, like whatever, but I would have worked on that. So that would have been good feedback for me.
Yeah. So you would say that if I'm trying to use it as a tool for skating specifically watching, then I'm trying to see, if you're younger, obviously it's harder. If you're old enough to know, or if your dad trying to help or mom trying to help or coach trying to help, whatever, you're trying to pick out, like, is there a specific, what specific piece of feedback could I give this kid, and where can I show them that they did it wrong or they did it right or whatever? Is that kind of how you would use the tool in that way?
Cool. Yeah. How about, like, it goes to my example earlier, right? It's talk about this all the time in drills. You know, I'll have a drill where as you're coming out of turns and stuff, like my number one thing after that is like, you need to get your 2-3 quick steps in, whether it's a crossover or accelerating. And when we do the drills, you're always telling them, move the feet. And it's like, they hear you and they actually think that they are doing it. But then we're looking at, no, you got to move your feet because they're not moving it the way they should, or they're not moving them. So if they see it live, they go, okay, I actually have to start moving my feet. I see it now. So it's picking out little things, right?
I think my next one would be the doing like actual drills or skill specific stuff. That I'm gonna plug the your video stuff that you have online. So that's another thing that you get members get on the website. So if you go, we have like a videos tab you can click on, and it's you doing all the teaching and you doing all the drills that you recorded back in the day.
Yeah, it's only 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it's all of this stuff that we're talking about. So it's like actual like skating mechanics drills that you can do, and that you can follow with all the teaching. Like you're explaining it right there, showing how to do it and all that kind of stuff. So that's a great, tool, because a lot of times you go to the whatever skating coach or the treadmill guy or whatever, and you're not actually getting as much the teaching points as you would like. So not only is it save you a bunch of money doing it this way, but you're actually going to get you teaching it, which, you know, you're going to get the quality.
Yeah, I would really suggest, you know, I almost forget about that sometimes. It's like there's some probably an hour to two or more of just skating. And if people followed that, they'd be better skaters. And that's just, I like doing it.
Yeah, and you can focus on the specific things, whether it's the straight skating.
So when it comes to skating, like I actually think like it's a crazy thing to say, because everyone says that skating is the most important skill in hockey. If you can't skate, you can't play, which I debate. But if that's important, when you should spend time doing your own skating, right? You really should. And that's where I learned everything, is like on my own, like very little that I learned from someone explaining shit to me until I got to a point where I could ask questions and like knew what I was wrong with me. Like I was a very self-taught, but that's what it was. It was, I'd go out on the outdoor rinks, which everybody doesn't have, but there's other ways you can do things and just feel what my body felt like. So I use this a lot. I used to watch a game on Saturday night and on hockey night in Canada, I'd see whatever player do a thing, and I'd say, oh, I want to work on that. And I'd just go over to the rink and work on that. I remember doing skating and just like in my head, I was just making the mind muscle connection on strides, turning, crossovers and everything. I think people should spend more time with that. So anyways, go back to that. If you do go to the video session on our things and just look at the skating mechanics side of it, you'll have some really good stuff that is very, very beneficial.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a good point too. Like winter's coming up, you'll have outdoor rinks and stuff around. And if you don't, you can still use rollerblades. You can do those things. It's not 100%, but it's enough to get the gist of what's going on for a lot of the drills anyways. Next thing, you just said it too, is that developing that muscle memory. So that's just like the repetition over time, like making the good habits automatic. It's like you can go, like this is what I say. I remember doing shooting lessons with kids, and once they were old enough, because sometimes you'd have kids that they shouldn't even be here because they're just too young. But once you have kids that are old enough, like the idea would be you come for a lesson and then you go shoot a million pucks after the lesson. That's why a lesson is good. You know, if you shoot 200 pucks when you're with me at the lesson and then you don't touch any pucks until the next lesson, the improvement's not going to come.
Or you shoot only another 200.
Yeah, right? It's like you need to do the repetition, man. Like ingrain the habit, ingrain the movement pattern. And it takes a lot of time, man. It takes a lot of time. So you have to actually put the work into doing it on your own, because you can't get enough work. Like you're not going to pay for enough time ever than what you could do if you just did it on your own, you know? So get your teaching points, whatever, if you want to use a lesson for skating or whatever, but then you need to do the repetition on your own to get that automatic feel, right? That's the best way, at least. Then you can do your individual private coaching, which, I mean, back to the video thing too, it's like that's basically what you're gonna end up getting. It's like it's private coaching. It's, you're not gonna get the real live feedback, obviously, but that's what you would hope for.
Well, you'll know when you get it right.
Yeah, right. And then, but regardless, if you were to go pay for individual private coaching, that's a way you can do it, provided that whoever you have coaching actually knows what they're talking about and it's actually gonna be worth the money, because obviously that can be expensive.
Some guys are real good. Some guys, girls, really good.
Yeah.
Some are just a waste of time.
Yeah. And then the last one, I want to spend a little bit of time on this one, is the off-ice stuff. So this could be the skating treadmill, yes, but the gym. And maybe I'm biased because I'm a gym guy. But one of the things, I just did this last week. I had a team come in and they were doing treadmill stuff. And before we went on the treadmill, I did, just standing in here with all of them, trying to show them the difference between squatting and hinging, and the difference between using your hips and using your knees, like hip joints, knee joints, trying to get them to understand that there's a difference. And in the 10 minutes we spent doing it before we went on the treadmill, a lot of them didn't understand how to move those joints differently, which obviously, because it's only been 10 minutes, but maybe they weren't even aware that there was a difference. And this is where, when we go back to a little bit earlier, you were talking about with some of these fundamental things like the coordination, the stability, all those things. You need to learn your body. Like, you need to learn how your body moves. I just had a guy, I think he was actually from Sweden, that just wrote me an email, and he was asking about his kid, and he's like, you know, I think my kid's gonna be going through puberty soon. How should he be training through that time that he's growing? And to me, it's like, be in the gym. Like, keep doing your squats, keep doing your deadlifts, keep doing your big moves, your pushes, your pulls. Like, do those things in whatever capacity you have access to them. Because as you're growing and things are changing, you can change with the change if you continue to do those things, right? So off-ice stuff is a really good place where you can start to feel like, where's my weight on my feet? You know, you can start to ask these questions in a very controlled environment. You know, what am I feeling this in my glutes? Am I feeling it in my back? Am I feeling it in my quads? Where am I feeling that the tension? Like having the balance, the symmetry feel. Like, that's a word I use all the time in the gym. It's like, are you feeling the same thing on both sides? Like, even if you're doing a single leg movement, if you do it on your right leg, does it feel the same as on your left leg? Because for me, I know it doesn't. Like, for me, I have imbalances all over the place, and I know better, right? So you can use it as a play. That's the way I frame it for guys. It's like, use it as a playground to figure out how your body works and how your body moves. And I think that is like the biggest bang for your buck thing you can do for skating in general, is learn how to move your body off the ice by doing like some of these basic movement patterns. And even for what you were saying before, is like, just let your kid go do things where they're being an athlete. That's why that's the first thing when you talk about that long-term athletic development plan, right? It's like, that is number one. It's like, be able to move, right? Be able to move in all directions, be able to move on one leg, be able to do things that make you athletic. That's going to be the base of your skating posture, that athletic posture. If you don't know how to get into that and sit into it comfortably, then if we jump right onto the treadmill or you jump onto the ice and you don't know how to do that, then it's going to be harder to explain now that you have to balance on skates while you're gliding than when you're just on your feet and balanced and feeling stable, you know? So it's just a good place to work on that stuff.
Yeah. My biggest thing, obviously, to be a good skater, you do have to skate. So, like, obviously, right? But if it's the only thing you do and you fix everything on the ice, or you try to fix everything on the ice, or if you think doing more of something is going to be better, if for some people, maybe that's true, but I would say, by and large, there's many different ways that would make your skating better. Not because you're working on skating, because you're learning about your body. You're learning about how to move properly, as you said. So I think I think it's very, very important that kids play sports other than hockey just to move differently. Just to take a break from your quads and your lower back and all that stuff. That's number one. But just to be an athlete. There's a lot for me, there's a lot to be said about just being an athlete, playing different sports and beating a dead horse here. That just should just make sense. But I think when we're looking at fixing solutions, fixing the solution, having solutions to fix your skating mechanics, or to make yourself, well, let's go with making yourself faster. Right. So we'll isolate it and say, we want to be a faster skater. Can you fix it just by skating faster? Like, what does that mean? Right. If you're a runner, you want to run faster. Do you push hard? No, you're pushing as hard as you can. You're going as fast as you can. So where are the deficiencies? So that's where it takes, you know, I'm not saying you have to pay someone to fix your things, but by doing other sports or being involved in other things, you're probably going to find an answer. So, for example, if you're in yoga, that's not, I wouldn't consider that a sport. I would consider that, what would you call it?
Oh, physical activity.
Physical activity that's very beneficial in many ways. That's a longer way of saying it. But what you're going to find is that, oh, maybe by doing yoga, you're going to feel like you are more flexible. Well, is being more flexible good or bad? It depends. There's a point where it might be too flexible, but you're definitely going to work your hips, your lower back, and your T-spine. That's good for skating. So is that all you do? Well, of course not. So, but maybe just being more flexible in your your hip flexors and your lower back and your core, like we were talking about, maybe that's enough to have your body, you know, have that knee drive better. That might be the game changer for you, right? Or maybe you're just, when you skate now, because you've been getting into the yoga and your, you know, your limbs are a little bit looser, maybe that just makes you more fluid on the ice. That changes everything, right? So there's one, right? Okay, so, but yoga is not a fast movement. Well, what is? Track. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's because now a coach will explain to you, like, for running. So, like, because a lot of people would say, including my son, said, I don't know if it's going to translate. Okay, but then you learn all about your body, what part of your foot you should be using, the importance of your knee drive, and how that knee drive propels you forward, and having the good posture. So it's not directly skating, but it's another thing. So now all of a sudden, maybe by understanding how your feet, or what part of your feet is going to give you the best bang for your buck, your hips, all that stuff, arm swings, oh, there's another tool. So that's the point of learning from all kinds of different sports. There's a lot of different ways to become a better skater. And I just don't think it's just skating.
That literally perfectly plays into my point. I was going to say is just like, obviously the way you're fixing it is consistently training over time, but it's an iterative process and it takes a combination of things. So for example, if like when I started going through puberty, I started doing boxing and then I got into the gym right away and I loved the gym. I still love the gym. I love lifting weights. It's just something that connected with me like right away. This was a mistake that I made. I started lifting weights. I started getting stronger. I started getting faster and I could feel that it was working on the ice. Like I could bowl guys over. I was solid in the corners. I was solid on the wall and I was like, wow, like lifting weights is the thing. Like that is the thing. And then I kept lifting weights and then I kept lifting weights and then I kept lifting weights. And then by the time I was maybe 17 or 18, I'm like, wow, like I look like a bodybuilder. Like that's how my structure is now. So maybe somewhere along the way, I had built my base enough and I needed to graduate to a different thing to work on, a different style of training, something more hockey specific, as people would say. And I didn't do that. And maybe that is a reason why when I started doing that, now I was 19, 20, 21, 22. So now I had been doing this one thing for 5 years and it started off great, but then I married it. And then by the time I realized, oh, maybe I should be doing something else. Well, now I'm 19, now I'm 20, right? And in terms of the hockey career path, that's now we're at the time where I needed to have that figured out already and I didn't have it yet, you know? So that was one thing, you know, where it was like I had the practice over time. I was consistent with it, but I wasn't doing that combination. I wasn't addressing or picking the specific deficiencies. And for me, it wasn't even necessarily skating. I was a good skater, but it's the same principle. It's like, what was the thing that I needed to change or to work on? And if you're looking at fixing your skating, it's like, yeah, like get in the gym. Yeah. Get on a treadmill maybe. Yeah. Go to the track, do track stuff and do a combination of things. And then over time, you'll start to be able to isolate where the specific thing is, because the younger you are, the more it's just general, the more it's just like improve everything, right? Improve everything. And so I think for me, like if I had to boil it down to just, I'm not saying this is the same three things that it would have to be for everybody, but when you're on the ice, like just for skating specifically, is you need to do the reps and you need to ask questions. Like those are the big two things without being like a specific thing you have to fix. You have to do reps. You have to ask questions to figure out what the issue is and then get in the gym. Like those are my two things, get in the gym. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like with the young kids that I work with, it's like, we're literally working on form. Like they think they work out and they do deadlifts and they do all this stuff. And it's like, everything's super light. They're just, I'm teaching them how to move, man. Like that's what it is. And that's the biggest benefit that you'll get when you're young. Cause I get people all the time, the kid's 6 years old and wants to come on the treadmill or the, and if you want to go and do it and it's fun, it's like whatever. But I'm saying for specifically fixing skating, it's like play other sports, be active, be able to crawl, be able to jump, be able to do these things that are just athletic movements. And that's going to be the best thing to translate just indirectly.
Providing you're skating.
Providing yeah. You also, yeah.
It's going to be a benefit, yeah. No, because I know there's going to be a comment like, so don't skate and just, no. Right. You're doing your skating, you're practicing, you're putting some intention in it, but doing other sports or gym work or yoga or stretching or jumping, whatever it is, yeah. running up hills, that's going to cross train for hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's all I got. I know that was an interesting episode because that I get a lot of those things we talked about are just like common questions. So hopefully that's useful. Do you have anything else you'd like to finish?
No, I don't think so, dude.
Think you're getting... Okay, so we'll leave it there. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to send them in. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.